Good morning. Thanks a lot for coming. And as you will see and hear in a second, we are now like leaving the home turf of the ready-made in a strict Duchampian sense. And this first panel is dedicated to this question, whether there is a transcultural ready-made. As far as I can tell, the term transcultural ready-made has not been used very much yet, let alone has it been systematically developed, and I'm curious whether this will change anytime soon. One could think that this is not entirely unlikely, as both parts of the term refer to issues which are currently widely discussed. As we could see yesterday, the ready-made, the already produced, the appropriated, triggers a whole set of questions which still, or again, carry a lot of urgency. The same could definitely be said of the transcultural, which is an equally lively field of discussion. Actually, there's a conference on transkultur happening close by in Berlin as we speak. This situation that the term transcultural ready-made has not been introduced yet, and at the same time refers to two areas of eminent relevance in relation to various discourses, this situation provides us with the possibility or the necessity to use it in a rather explorative sense in order to find out in relation to which questions it might work as an illuminating perspective. An exploration of the term in this sense by relating it to artistic practices but also to other fields of practice and research is the framework of this panel. I came up with the slightly melancholic sounding title, "The Object is Never at Home," for two reasons. First, I think there's a certain restlessness of the object, which can be observed in various dimensions, and maybe the rediscussion of the ready-made can also be seen in this light. The object seems to move restlessly through all kinds of discourses, like thing theory, animism, ethnographic collections, but also in the field of the curatorial, and of course in the context of artistic practices. It is a reoccurring research subject in all these fields. Besides this discursive mobility and fluidity, there's obviously its spatial restlessness, materializing in the global circulation of goods, not only as commodities, which feeds into this cultural apparatus of object keeping, studying, and presenting, as we know it in the form of museums and other institutions of various types. Secondly, the title is a reference to Peter Mason's study, Infelicities, Representations of the Exotic, in which he states that the exotic is never at home. Similar to the ready-made, the exotic doesn't exist as such. It is created by a process of exoticization. This might be applicable to the ready-made, whose status is to a certain extent also the effect of a process of re- and decontextualization. And of course, there is another connection. The transcultural ready-made might be perceived as exotic, as we will see in a second, as it might fall into this eclectic category of non-locatable phenomena. I think that Lothar Baumgarten's photographic series Unsettled Objects from the late 1960s, in which he shows objects on display at the Pedrivas Museum in Oxford, might be an illuminating example for the transgressive, restless mode in which objects exist, especially when they are dispersed and displayed through the channels of globalized cultural institutions, markets, and discourses. So I would like to spend a short moment looking at some examples of this seminal work by Baumgarten, which shows restless, unsettled objects locked up in vitrines. Margareta will talk about the ethnographic object as an epistemic amputee later, a term which Clemente de Lis uses to describe the character of some of Kara Atia's works, and which might also be a helpful term in relation to Baumgarten's unsettled objects. Just to give you an idea of how it is shown. So it is a very modest, simple piece in its appearance. It's 81 slides in a carousel, and they are looped. What I think is still so remarkable about this work is the analysis of the effects of presenting objects. Of course, it is a specific way of presenting objects which breathes colonialism from every pore, but which is still common in many ethnological museums. So those are some examples of Baumgarten's slides. Christian Krawagner and others refer to this work as a milestone of the critique of ethnographic representation, as it manages to expose the effects of de- and recontextualization, as well as dehistorization, if that is a word, which might be the effect which is amongst the most powerful ones when it comes to the process of othering in this particular setup. But I would like to steer away from this question for a minute, which has been this question of ethnographic representation critique, which has been written about extensively, and try to approach this series of 81 slides from this hypothetical notion of the transcultural ready-made. I would not claim that what we see here in the vitrines are transcultural ready-mades per se. As we discussed yesterday, and as I just said in relation to the exotic, a process of ready-mading, which is a term coined by Katinka, a process of ready-mading has to happen to make a ready-made. I would rather say that through the photographic presentation of those objects on display, shifts of status are shown which can be related to the question of the ready-made, to the transcultural, and to the process of making a ready-made itself. Or, to put it differently, I would not say that Baumgarten shows those objects as transcultural ready-mades, but that he reflects on the process of shifting the status of an object through putting it on display. By his reappropriation of the appropriated object, Baumgarten produces something which might be described as a transcultural ready-made, but this transcultural ready-made only exists in its projected photographic presentation. It is not there in the conventional sense of the word, as its being depends on the act of reappropriation, which only materializes in the slide as a photographic medium. Yes. I'm happy to discuss this further, but I think that this example shows that artistic practices as aesthetic modes of critique, at least potentially, can develop methods to analyze the subtle and unsubtle shifts and ruptures which occur in the very complex process of presenting objects. Before returning to the question of how a transcultural ready-made may come into being, and in which ways it might help us to understand effects of presenting things in a specific way, and how those ways of presentation could be related to questions of use, value, fetish, and the exotic, I would like to sketch out one other proposal which could become a point of discussion. The concept of the ready-made, as Duchamp introduced it, was developed in the context of an almost entirely industrialized society, in which mass-produced objects as commodities were in the process of becoming the norm for many people. It was in this specific economic and technological situation that the provocative potential of the ready-made could evolve as an antidote to the traditional artwork, as we also heard and discussed yesterday. The artwork understood as the work of an artist, an object which was authorized not only by a signature but also by a physical connection to the creative mind, by creative labor. The ready-made, as we know it from 100 years ago, is therefore also a comment on the almost magic power of display. It literally shows and therefore proves that putting an object on display has transformative powers, which affect the object as well as its perception. Through putting it on display, the object shifts from one category to another right in front of our eyes. We could therefore also rephrase the ready-made as an artistic strategy depends on a specific culture of display, which in Europe was popularized in museums and also warehouses during the 19th century. If this admittedly slightly pointed characterization is roughly correct, the transcultural ready-made presents us with a certain tension. As the concept of the ready-made was conceived against this historically, institutionally, economically, technologically specific background, it may not be possible to de- and recontextualize this concept easily. But I think that this is actually the good news. I would argue that it is exactly this specificity which renders the term ready-made productive, the term transcultural ready-made productive when we introduce it into a so-called transcultural context, be it the context of a transcultural artistic practice or a transcultural institutional practice such as ethnography. By de- and recontextualizing the term ready-made, we can use it to analyze different notions of the object, from different historical periods and different cultural contexts. We can also use it to analyze display situations. For instance, if Kader Atia uses hand-carved masks and figurines in his installations, we might call it an appropriation of the ready-made strategy, but we might also rethink the concept of the ready-made as dependent on machine-made mass-produced objects, as well as the status shifts which were part of the ready-made gesture 100 years ago. In order to push the boundaries of the term a little bit further, I would like to briefly refer to Willem de Roy's project Intolerance, which I realized together with him at the Neue Nationalgalerie in Berlin in 2010. The starting point for this project were paintings. I do this really roughly to come straight to the point. The starting point for this project were paintings by the 17th century Dutch painter Melchior de Hondecoeter and Hawaiian feather objects, mostly from the 19th century. I'll quickly go through some examples. It is only to give you an idea of what these objects are like or were like. It was one of his favorite motifs, hence there's a series. And the other category of objects were those beautiful, this one is from Berlin, feather objects. It was those hats, helmets, and coats. As you can see, those two different kinds of objects were combined in a wall-like installation running across the space. Running across the space of this Mies van der Rohe showcase building. Through the semi-transparent window covers, the surroundings of the museum, the urban situation of Potsdamer Platz was still recognizable. Until preparing this panel, I of course had never thought of this project being related to the question of the transcultural ready-made, but it might actually make sense to reconsider it from this point of view. The paintings as well as the feather objects are not machine-made but mass-produced, even though in small numbers, and they are produced in workshops. It is assumed that Hundekuter's workshop produced up about 2 paintings per week during his economically most successful years. We don't really know how many feather objects were produced per workshop, but there are several hundreds of each kind listed in the catalog Resonabi produced. So to phrase it in a tentative way, I would propose to consider the feather objects and the paintings having acquired the status of transcultural ready-mades for the duration the installation existed. It's not that those objects have become transcultural ready-mades, but through this method of framing and presenting, they have undergone a temporal shift of status which might be characterized with this term, transcultural ready-made, for the last time. Similar to Baumgarten's lights, this status is not fixed, it is not contained in the object, it is the effect of an act of framing. I would like to end on this note for now, leaving the rather ephemeral transcultural ready-made floating there as a hypothetical category or maybe also an analytical quality, which I think can be made useful also without defining it in strict terms. Before I hand over to Kader, I would like to very briefly introduce the panelists. Annette Bhagwati is a project leader and a part of the programming like core team of the House of World Cultures. Margareta von Oswald is a doctoral research fellow at the Center for Anthropological Research on Museum and Heritage, it's called CARMA, much nicer, which is located at the Department of European Ethnology of Humboldt University. Kader Atya is a visual artist based in Berlin and Algiers and mostly traveling, so it's almost a miracle that you're here, and I'm very happy about that. And I'll hand over the floor to you. Thank you.